Get ready for Triple M's Rush Hour. Andrew John.
Beautiful to Jarman. Bang! Another nail.
Bernie Vince.
Vince, non-goal kicker, brings the house down.
And Greg Blewett.
There it is. A magnificent performance from young Greg Blewett.
Adelaide's ultimate sports show on every afternoon. Triple M's Rush Hour with Bernie, Bluey and Jars.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to a lovely Thursday in this lovely place of ours, Adelaide. Nice to be here, and it's nice to have the team back. Greg Blewett, welcome to you, young man.
Thanks, Jars. Yeah, 22 degrees, nice. Blue skies. Yeah. Lovely. Yeah. Lovely, lovely. We're all up and about, aren't we?
And Emma G, welcome to you.
Thank you. Always a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. And where's Bern?
Oh, he's not here.
He's still on holiday.
Next week.
Can't handle it.
He'll be back next week.
You miss him. You've been different
as
without
you know,
him here.
I say it, I've said it for how many years since you've known me, that this show does go all around the world. We are global and we do it. No one else does what we do, all right? We're a show that no one else, I'm telling you, they don't get near us, Gregory.
Yeah, you've got a new middle name, Andrew Global Jarman.
Thank you, thank you, Gregory. Yep. But as usual, we get plagiarised because we do stuff that no one else does. So when I got a message this morning from two highly respected individuals of South Australia.
Who?
One, a former squash player who passed out in the big games.
Mm-hmm.
And a halfback flanker, couldn't kick over a jam tid, just sprayed them all over the place. Former club captain, the Roo,
right.
Rupert. So, Rupert, the club director.
So ruined Dits.
Ruined Dits this morning. Now have a listen to what they did in terms of plagiarising our segment or content.
We've got people listening, would you believe? We've got 74 listeners right now in Singapore. Your mum's relatives are listening in Canada. We've got some over there.
No.
United Arab Emirates, all right?
Nice.
A lot of expats live there. In Macedonia, we've got 8 people listening right now. Good morning.
That's the Dacos family, the Dacos. I told you earlier, the Macedonian marvel.
We've got 6 people in Iraq, Ghana. We got 2 people in Ghana listening to us right now.
Wow.
Yeah. Cambodia, we've got 1 listener. We've got 1 listener.
That's
in
one of Cozzy's mates.
Yeah, Cambodia, that's right. Dominican Republic, we've got a listener. Cayman Islands, we've got one.
He's on the run as
Richard
well.
Branson's listening to us from the Cayman
Islands. That's enough. Right. They're all trying to be funny.
Yeah.
Or is that the Canary
Islands? So they just plagiarise our podcast numbers, Gregory.
Okay.
All right. Honestly, when are they going to learn?
Yeah,
when are they going to learn? And you know, we know that's our DNA.
Have they actually just switched on to that? That they are actually going?
Yeah,
global?
More than likely, because they got nothing to talk about.
Right,
they bore everyone to death. Well, really.
But so Ghana,
I just couldn't
believe
it.
They had a couple
it.
In Ghana.
Oh, seriously, did they?
Well, we've got Switzerland. They didn't mention Switzerland.
No, not at all.
Macedonia, we can tick that one off as well. This is the rush hour, of course, Jars.
Yes.
Mexico, Netherlands.
We're big there in Mexico.
Canada. I tell you what, we're huge in the UK.
We're much loved.
Huge.
Much loved.
Well, we know why.
You know, but honestly,
cricket's global.
You get your own
Canada,
stuff.
Yeah, come on.
You with me, Greg?
Come on, boys.
You know, they would have been sitting there this morning going, well, what are we going to talk about today?
I can't believe it's towards the end of October 2021 and they've just realised that that the listener app's going right around the world.
Anyway, would have been ashamed themselves, those boys. And Loza jumping in and he got the fake laugh.
Loza's all right.
She's a good girl, Loza.
Yes.
Now, the Redbacks.
Yes. Well,
plenty of news about your boys.
Geez, you whacked them yesterday.
Well, no.
You
I did. And there's been an investigation. They're still investigating their behaviour in the nightclub. Now, you text me something last night.
Yes.
Which was more of a drive-by.
Well, there's a gentleman by the name of Ben Horn who writes on cricket.
Right.
And he travels around with the Australian cricket team. Mm-hmm. So he's very well respected.
Yep.
And he did a bit of digging.
Mm.
Yesterday evening,
yeah.
And he came out with this, Jars.
Okay.
So he rang the Crybaby Bar. That's where the players were.
Mm-hmm.
And who did? So the employees at the didn't want to be named.
Yeah, fair enough.
But they declined to go on the record, and they have refuted those allegations of aggressive or abusive behaviour.
Right.
And corroborated the players' versions of events. South Australian Cricket Association chiefs called the bar as part of their investigation. Mm-hmm. Were told by the bar management there was no complaints from staff about how they were treated by players, and that it wasn't the pub who notified police.
Right.
All right. So,
so what's the stuff in the news then? All of them saying
about abusing the staff and all that sort
dancing
of stuff.
On tables,
so,
breaking
COVID
rules.
And that's what we were saying last night.
Yeah.
I mean, you were jumping all over them saying, and I was saying, hang on, let's just wait for the facts.
But they still had to call the police.
Who called? Well, it was a member. Well, but yeah, but it doesn't must matter. Have been a member of the public.
And obviously very concerned. Well, and maybe would have been a bit frightened.
They might have been a New South Wales supporter or something like
righto,
that. You
know? Righto. Righto.
But
the
anyway.
Wouldn't be happy with it anyway, what's happened.
No, because as soon as the police are called. And the police statement as well said, yes, these players were kicked out of the bar.
Yep.
And nothing else happened apart from that. So there were no charges. There were no fines. Okay. No. But we'll wait. Apparently, I think the SACA are still investigating, and hopefully there'll be
an outcome
and a statement.
Yep,
a statement
absolutely.
Soon.
Mm. And why would you be letting your hair down after a draw? I can't understand that.
Well, I did.
You
if
did,
I,
did
if
you?
I played my bum off for four days
in a draw,
I felt like a bit of a
mate,
bit of a hard
sorry,
fought draw
for me. If you get a draw in a game,
you used to do that too.
No,
you
can't stand a draw. Back to work. Get back in the nets. Not nightclub and all night. Working back
well,
on my
I didn't
game.
Have anything. Jeez, Josh, shut up.
Sound like cricket. I love it.
Can't wait to catch up with Gleeso very shortly.
Yeah,
right,
we love Gleeso.
Young man, the big release date tomorrow, All For One, the Screaming Jets anniversary, 30 years ago. What a great album.
Years.
So the great man's coming in to talk about it.
Has Gleeso written a book? He'd write an
he's
amazing.
He's got some great stories, doesn't he?
The stuff that he would have seen and done and unbelievable.
Now, last night, the Australians played India in a T20 warm-up World Cup game, Gregory, and I text you to have a bit of a look. I just got a couple of questions I'm concerned about regarding our first game against South Africa on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Davey Warner.
Yeah, he's in a...
He's
little form slump.
Form slump.
Mm-hmm.
Does he look mentally and physically cooked? Because when he walked off, he looked gone. There's no spirit left. There's no fight in Davey Warner. And we need Davey Warner to play well.
Yeah, good
question,
Jase.
Are you concerned about where he's at? Because he just looks like he's had enough.
Like, I just listened to Aaron Finch and a few of the other senior players saying that he's just up and about at training.
Right.
And that's...
Okay, good.
David Warner is a little pest. He's like, just does not stop yapping and, you know, carrying on. I think champions of the game, and David Warner he's got an unbelievable record.
Absolutely.
Whether you like him or you don't, you have to say that he's been a bloody good cricketer for Australia. So I just think once the lights come on and the actual tournament starts, judge him then. But at the moment, I would have to say, that's a slight concern. It is a slight concern.
So selectors Justin Langer and George Bailey, they won't drop
him.
Tony Dottomate, they won't drop him for the first game on Sunday, will they?
Nah, he'll
start. They'll back him in because his form line the last four, he didn't play in the IPL, but he's got made a naught and a two and a naught and a two and a three.
Yep.
So he's not going in good form against the spinners either.
No, he'll definitely start. And I reckon, you know, you'll get a bit of a gauge on how they go the first couple of games. And then go from there. But if he doesn't look like getting a run in the first couple of games, because it's a short tournament, Jars.
Yeah,
you've got to
come out of the blocks.
Exactly.
Stevie Smith, good to see some form. So he'll stay in the
57.
Middle. That's good insurance for the middle order.
I like our 3, 4, 5, and 6. I really do.
And they are?
So Mitch Marsh at 3.
Yeah, okay.
He hits the ball unbelievably hard.
Yep,
a good player of spin as well now.
4?
4, Maxwell.
Yeah, Maxie.
So Smith came in 4 yesterday, but that's because we lost 2 or 3 quick wickets.
Yeah,
so
11 balls.
Yeah, that's right. So he came in.
Yeah.
And then who comes in after that? So you've got Smith bat at 5, Maxwell at 4.
Is it Stoinis?
And then Stoinis at 6. And he batted well last night as well.
Yeah,
45 not out or something
mirrors.
Right off 21 balls. So some real power at the end.
Okay.
Wade at 7.
Okay.
So they're going to go with Wade.
Okay.
I've been saying they should go with Inglis.
Yeah.
Jars, if they all play well, it's not a bad
side.
But
they didn't play well yet last night. I know it's a warm-up game, but India thrashed them.
Yeah, they did.
They did a job on them. That was a thrashing.
They got them in the 18th over, I think. But, yeah, there was a comfortable win for India.
So you're not concerned about David?
We've had a pretty bad record, mate, for Australia in T20 cricket. So I think if we do well, it's a bit of a bonus because we haven't played well
and
for a long time.
And don't ride off South Africa. They're in some good, reasonable form too, just quietly in the T20.
Yep.
All right. So we'll watch. I can't wait to watch it on Sunday. But if Davey fails, I'll ask you this. Do they drop him for game 2 and put Wade as an opener to replace him?
No. They'll give him more than one game.
Okay.
Definitely.
Okay.
Now, we're going to drop the news about the international summer.
Yes. You got some mail.
Yes. Because it's the Ashes.
Yes.
First test is normally in Brisbane.
Bang.
We are hearing
yes, sir.
That it's not going to be in Brisbane.
Where's it going, Greg?
It's going to be in Canberra.
What?
Why? Why are you saying?
Well, okay, why?
Because Perth is not going to open up. Perth was going to be the last test match.
Oh, hello.
So Perth and Brisbane are going to swap. So
we're hearing
that the first test match is going to be in Canberra.
Yep.
And then Adelaide will be the second.
Done.
Then Melbourne, Sydney, and finish off in Brisbane.
And Perth won't get a test match.
And Perth won't get a test match. So stay tuned on that one. I'm not going to reveal my sources.
Well, no, no,
but
no,
that's
should.
Big news. And that's good for England, Jars, because normally we go bang right between the eyes up in Brisbane.
Mm.
And that's not going to happen. It looks like it's Canberra. First
well
test.
Done. Good mail, Gregory. Dave Gleeson is live in the studio, right. Family. And hello to you, great man. Welcome. We love having you in the Rush Hour.
I love being in here. And thanks for calling me a South Australian. I've been here for 16 years now.
Well, you're a South Australian then.
Yeah.
Only 12 months and you've been.
I'm still not a local up the hills, mate. Don't worry about that. They still think I'm a blow-in.
The Screaming Jets 30th anniversary re-release of the debut album 30 years ago, All For One. The release date is tomorrow, October the 22nd. You are jumping out of your skin.
I am.
You must be proud what you've done, you boys.
Yeah, we're very proud that 30 years later, I mean, you can stick around for 30 years, but if no one's coming to see you, then it's time to pull stumps. But we're very lucky to have a great loyal fan base that we got from, you know, our first tours were supporting the Radiators and the Angels and Divinals and Choir Boys. And so we were able to get that real loyal Aussie pub rock crowd on board very early on. They've been with us the whole time.
Gleeso, I'm just looking at the tracks, right? What I want to know, you know, Bed is probably the one that we all know, but what song out of all of those means the most to you? Is there something that sort of really gets you going?
Yeah, they've all taken on different meanings over the years, but Come On, which is the first track of the album, which I wrote, we've played that as our opening track pretty well for 95% of the time we've been on the road, because it goes booster, 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 and here we are, you know. Yeah. So I really love that one. That was like our this is how you do it. Yeah. Don't punce around like all you hair bands. Let's get out and rock. But good. Shine On's the one, I think. It was written by Paulie, our bass player, and it's a real blues kind of song, but over the years it's kind of become almost autobiographical of the Screaming Jets' journey from Newcastle out into the big bad world.
This one,
Shine it
through. And you must have been excited getting back into the studio and just going through every track and just fine-tuning it to take it to another level. Is that?
I think so, yeah. Well, when we recorded all these tracks, some of them we'd only known for a couple of weeks or a few months. So you get in there and you record them, and then you spend the next 30 years playing them live.
Yeah.
So you'd expect that they grow in some place. So some of the songs, we stayed pretty true to the arrangements and stuff, but some of them have grown into monsters live.
They have.
Can you believe it's 30 years, Gleeso? Are you like most of us old farts and it's just gone like that?
It has gone like that. I'm not one for sitting there looking back on former glories, but over the last couple of years, obviously, it's hard to look forward and of course doing these this album was a good chance to remember those 11 days we spent in Paradise Studios in King's Cross.
Yes,
When we were young fellas and we just were sampling all the delights that the Cross had to offer. But this time, obviously, it was a different beast because we weren't all in the same studio together. You certainly realise how much time you waste when you get 7 or 8 blokes all in a studio together and shenanigans happen. And many times I was in the studio doing vocals and halfway through I'd see, you know, someone's just brought a case in or someone's turned up.
No.
And I'm like, oh, hang on. And the producer's like, no, stay there. Yeah. And there's another day wasted.
Gleeso, national tour 2022.
Yep.
You're just about booked out, they tell me.
Yes.
And what about Adelaide? When are we going to be locked in and Bluey and I and Byrne and G and come down your front stage and I'll be on their stage?
Yes. Rocking out, stage diving. I think we're doing some gigs January, February. Now, this is where it gets tricky.
Okay.
What happens is Paul Wozine, bass player from the Jets, he and I have been the founding members that have survived.
Right.
The others aren't dead. Just to us. But, sorry, what was I saying?
National
when
tour.
When are you coming out?
When are you coming in?
So we've got some gigs, some time to tour in January, February. But okay. The Angels, as I was saying, they're not like my mistress. Paulie calls them. Yeah. I'm off with the mistress.
Yes, you
right?
are. Yeah.
And because the Red Hot Summer tour was in full flight when this all happened, there's a bunch of stuff that has to happen before. But July is when the
Screaming
All
Jets.
For One tour will take place. July, August.
Your industry, Gleeso, do you feel like you've been let down a little bit over this pandemic? Because you guys are the first ones to put your hand up. If there's a natural disaster, if there, you musos are so good at putting your hand up, doing things for charity. Mm. What about the last sort of year or so? How tough has it been on your industry?
It has been very tough on all facets of the industry, from venue owners to the bands, to people work in hospitality, to techs, sound guys, etc. It's been just full on. And because it's such an unquantifiable thing, I mean, there's no roadies union, I can tell you. So they live hand to mouth. And there's an old adage that said, if the roadies don't rock, the band don't roll, right? So there's all those people. And it's not like... having success in Australia is unreal, but it certainly doesn't line the bank account. Say, if we had a number one album in the United States in 1991, then we'd be farting through silk right now. but as it is, we're all working musicians. We're all just working, just like any other job, but it's a good job when it's happening.
Yeah.
But yeah, hopefully the government can do something.
Come to the party.
Yeah.
Screaming Jets legend Dave Gleeson, ahead of the re-release of their debut album, All For One, the 30th anniversary tomorrow. And I've got to ask you, Glee, so we're celebrating Oztober at Triple M, a month of the best Aussie rock, and asking our Triple M listeners to vote for their favourite Australian song, what song they think should be in the Great Aussie Songbook. So I've got to ask you, what's the ultimate Aussie song? And it's not allowed to be Angels or Screaming Jets.
I say it all the time.
Which one?
I was 6 years old when It's a Long Way to the Top came
there
out.
You go.
And how did Bond know what my life was going to turn out like? That he wrote a whole song about it.
And he wrote about you, Gleeson.
Every time I hear it, I think, yeah, he got that right. Got that right. Getting old, getting grey, getting ripped off and underpaid.
Now, mate, you got some Screaming Jets merch on.
Yes, I have.
Where can we get one of those?
It's on the Screaming Jets website if you go there.
It's brilliant.
And we got them in footy because being a New South Welshman in the beginning, I'm a rugby league nut. Mm. And so we got them in footy jersey configurations.
They're fantastic, aren't they, Bluey? They look great.
Oh, I'd love to see a full team, a full footy team, Jets footy team.
Yeah. I might get me boys at Williston. Mate, before we let you go.
Actually, don't.
Don't you start. You choked in about 10 grand finals in pool. An eight ball, don't you talk to me about that.
I could choke on an eight ball.
Well, it's not funny, not from Gleeso. Now listen.
Gleeso sticks a boot.
Now listen, a couple of the Rush Hour family have texted me, you're going to Oruro.
Yeah, I am.
Just quickly give that little plug, because I did some farming up there many years ago.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah, I'm going up there. They're having a big street fair at Kick the Dust or something like that, I think it's called.
They can't wait to see you.
Yeah, and they got in touch, and I'm going up there to MC. They said, don't even bother bringing your guitar.
Really?
Have you got your MC voice?
Welcome here to the Oruro. Roasting, toasting, cooking all the while. The Dagwood Dogs, because I'll have them there. It's like a big street party. There'll be rides and plenty of family entertainment.
And that's this weekend.
This weekend.
Oh, mate. The great Mick Redden. That's his
big Mickey Redden.
Yeah, my former teammate of mine at North Adelaide. He's a much loved figure up there, Gleeso. Mick Redden.
Next weekend. Yeah.
It's next weekend.
Yeah.
All right. Tomorrow, Blue. It's released, all right, the 30th anniversary.
Yeah, well done, Gleeso.
All for One, the Screaming Jets album, which we all love and dear, and we can't wait. So if we get online, we can get some?
Yes, absolutely. There's a few coloured vinyl. You can get it on purple coloured vinyl. I think they're all sold out now, but a limited edition cassette.
Really?
VHS next.
If you've got something to play it on.
Been playing it on my Sony Walkman, getting out of the house.
Bloody love it. So good luck, mate. Can't wait for the national tour. Obviously, tomorrow's a big day for Screaming Jets. Thanks for coming in, brother.
I'll just say it'll be different tomorrow, because when we did release the album 30 years ago, we had a car called The Pig. It was a 260C Datsun. Electric windows and everything.
Electric windows?
Oh, nice.
What happened to The Pig?
We wrote it off out the front of the house. But the good part was, and we had been, you know, having a few frogs, but we weren't driving it. We just, I remember our manager who was supposed to be, he was supposed to be wrangling the crew. He's jumping up and down on the bonnet with his big metal briefcase, smashing the windshield in. No. Then all the boys take off to go to the pub. I was waiting on a phone call from Suze DeMarchi. Don't want to talk about it. And the police come knock on the door and they go, who's that car out the front? I still remember it. I've got a sarong on. I didn't used to wear much in the day. So they're standing there and they're saying, is that your car? Yeah, what's happened to it? Oh, we just got a released our record. And it's like, what do you ride off a car? I go, well, it's just one of those things. We're from Newcastle. Anyway, after about 10 minutes of him talking to me, he's looked at me, he said, are you Tony Gleason's brother? Oh, no. Now, my brother was a copper at the time. Oh, no. And I go, yeah. He goes, well, I'll get Tony on. You've got to move that car, mate. You just can't do that. So luckily this time it's been much more sedate.
And did Susie ask about me? No. I got lost.
Oh, you're way down the list. No, I'll tell you. It was Johnny Diesel before you.
Thanks for joining us, Gleason.
No worries, mate. Love it, guys.
Good
Thanks.
Luck tomorrow.
Jars,
yes, Gregory.
I need you to talk to my wife. I know you've got this love affair going on.
We've got a love affair.
Well, I've never met your wife. But you always say, I love Catherine. And Catherine always says, I love Jars.
I love my dialogue with Catherine.
Right.
I don't love her in
a relationship. And I always say, listen, just reserve your judgment until you actually meet him.
Well, that's a bit unfair.
All right. So, but anyway, can you please get in contact with her?
Happened?
Because she wants a new pet.
Oh, yay.
Right.
What does she want?
So we're the sort of, you know, classic family at the moment. Two young boys, five and six.
Right.
Just about to be five and seven.
Nice.
But we've got a dog.
Mm-hmm.
We love our dog.
How old's your dog?
So he's 10.
Okay. What's he called?
Napoleon. And we call him Nappy.
Well, that's he'd be shattered with that.
And we call him Nudes. I know. I agree.
You're
spot on.
You know I love dogs. I'm a bit of a dog whisperer.
You know because I take him all the time.
You take him, do you?
I take him all the time.
And what kind of dog are we talking here? What brand?
He's
breed?
A Bichon.
A Bichon.
A Bichon Frise.
A Bichon.
He's a white little,
nappy.
We love him. He's a beauty.
All right. So
we've got a dog. So if most people, 90% of families who get a new pet, what would be the next pet that you'd get?
Well, I would imagine you get another dog.
Yeah, another dog.
Yeah,
or
another
a cat.
Younger. Yeah, another
two young boys.
No, no. Well, yeah, you could some. Get, she likes cats, don't you?
Yeah, I've got a
budgie.
Little son.
Nah, not a budgie.
A budgie or guinea pigs.
What do the boys want? Because they'll need to look after the next pet.
Well,
because you will never be around.
Why
Catherine's
not?
Got to do all the work which she does. Well, you'll be flying around the country talking
cricket.
Yeah. So I would go another little 2 or 3 year old, go to the
shelter
and find a nice little dog there. Get a little dog. Nothing silly.
Well, you know what she wants to get?
Oh, don't tell me.
A pig.
No.
She wants to get a pig.
Our relationship's done.
Well, sort her out, please.
No,
she
Catherine.
Wants to get a pig.
No.
A pig.
What are you going to do with a pig?
She's been Googling and then she's like showing me videos and cute. Look at the little snout.
Are you even allowed to have that as a pet?
I don't think you are.
I've seen someone walking a pig on the beach leash. I've seen that.
Because you can buy the, you can get the miniature pigs. You don't get the big ones.
They smell dirty.
Well, I think that's what she's telling me. They're not that dirty. They're sort of that clean.
If they find out that Catherine's got a pig, she could go to jail.
Well, I don't know about that, but I just don't think it's a very good idea.
No.
I'm with you.
All right.
Because I'm saying, you know, like, what if we go on a family holiday?
Who's going to look after
a pig? Oh, can you look after our pig?
And what will you call the pig?
I don't know. Jars?
The way you hoe down finger buns, mate.
Gregory, the Matildas take on Brazil on Saturday and Tuesday, both matches at the Sydney Combank Stadium, and their former player, a superstar of the game of football, is Georgia Yeomandal, joins us on the Rush Hour. Good afternoon, Georgia, and thanks for your time.
Yeah, good afternoon, and thanks for having me on.
Now, you're doing some wonderful work on Channel 10 now. You're loving the media side of things? Because you've got to say something now, have an opinion, not like Greg Blewett.
Oh.
Yeah, no, I am loving it. I spent the last couple of years doing the dual role of playing and doing commentary, and it was a little bit tricky having to have an opinion and then turn up the next week and play that same team. Mm. So it's nice to now be able to step back from it and be working full time in media.
Well done.
How are we going to go, Georgia, Brazil? They've they'd have to be a decent side, wouldn't they? Their men are sensational. What are the girls like?
Yeah, they're very good. They've always been up there in the top 10 teams in the world. We have a lot of history against each other as well. They knocked us out of the Olympics in Rio, and then we faced them again in the group stage in the World Cup in France, where we came back from 2-0 down to win 3-2. But there's always a lot of controversy in these games, and definitely big competitors between the two. It's going to be a tough game, but it'll be a good game.
And no Sammy Kerr. Yeah. Is that because she's got commitments overseas, Georgia?
Oh, well, that's the first I've heard of that, to be completely honest.
No, sorry. Now, Greg, you said Sam Kerr's not playing.
Don't always,
you said,
don't always believe what you're
hearing. I'm like, I was putting my bets on Sammy scoring, but no, I think we will. I think we will see Sam in the squad, which will be good.
Okay, I'm sorry. Now, Greg, you did look at the lineup and you said, where's Sam Kerr? And you said,
listen, don't.
You said, poor Georgie's got to help me out here. You said, Sam Kerr's not playing.
That was hours ago, and then I've since found out.
Well, I'm
that
glad
she's here.
Playing.
Yeah.
Thank Christ for that. Yeah, I nearly had a heart attack there, Georgia.
Hey, Georgia, can I ask you about the Olympic campaign? We came fourth, which is our highest ever. What did you make of it?
Yeah, look, I mean, it's always great at big tournaments to finish high in the tournament, obviously. Fourth being the top we've finished at a major tournament. Results, when you look at it, we only won two of our six games. So in terms of getting good wins on the board, we still aren't quite there. But when it comes to tournament football, it's just about doing what you need to do, playing chess in the right way and making your way through. We did see a fantastic performance against Great Britain in the quarterfinal that helped push us further through the tournament. So it was definitely promising to see that we were able to finish that high up, but I think there's a long way to go in terms of hitting that peak performance.
Georgia, what about the Matildas? Obviously, they're under a lot of scrutiny regarding a couple of their players have come out and called out the girls, saying there's abuse, harassment, assault and grooming within the Matildas organisation. Now, you're a former player. Did you see any of that? And what can you say about it, knowing it's under investigation and it'll come out eventually?
Yeah, look, I was very very sad to hear the allegations that came out, and I'm very sad for those people who have been made to feel the way that they have. I guess I can only ever really speak to my experience within the group, and that's not the experience that I had. Yeah. For me, the Matildas set up, it was always a very high-performance environment. I'm very good friends with most of the girls in the team. And as I said, it wasn't my experience, but I do empathise with those who have come out and sort of stated the way that they were made to feel. And I'm in full support of the independent investigation that's going to go ahead.
Excellent. Well said. Georgia, thanks for your time and good calling on Saturday and Tuesday. And no doubt the girls will get a good blowout against quality side like Brazil.
And Sam Kerr is definitely playing.
And Sam Kerr is playing, isn't he, Georgia?
Thanks for clarifying.
You heard it here first.
Yeah, you're a superstar.
There's the scoop, Jars.
Keep up the good work. And thanks for your time and good luck on Channel 10.
Thanks, guys. See ya.
Why are you looking at me like that, Jazz?
Well,
segment.
It's a segment that I haven't enjoyed.
Because you're losing.
I have not enjoyed whatsoever. No, look,
I got yesterday,
Elton John.
Yeah, you loved it.
Well, look, I did deliberately make it easy for you yesterday because I wanted to help
you. This is rigged.
You
spent
all day yesterday. Yeah, I did.
Actually, you can
just...
Because
Blue's on six and you're on three.
So yeah, I can't be caught. You just... Where you go, Jazz? I'll just sit this one out.
You're going to sit there, are you?
Come
on, you're a competitor.
So, who's done this one?
We're playing, I've ridden this one again.
Again?
This won't last long.
So we're playing Who Am I because Byrne is away a couple of weeks.
Byrne.
Usually we do Byrne's fun facts, but because he's not here, we're playing Who Am I. So here are your clues. Let's see if it's as easy for you today, Jazz. I tried to make it a little bit harder.
Okay.
I am the son of a gymnast and a hairdresser.
When were they born?
Well, I'm not saying that because gave it away yesterday.
Son of a gymnast.
Here we go.
All right. I told you I'd make it
Rudolph the Rayer.
No.
Son of a gymnast.
My career has spanned over 6 decades.
Okay. 6 decades.
I studied finance and accounting before getting into rock.
Oh, it's another music question. Way to go, Jazz.
Bruce Springsteen.
Nope. I have had 13 number one singles. I feel like this next clue is going to give it away.
Yep.
I have 8 children with 5 women.
Mick Jagger.
Yeah.
Yes!
Well done.
You can't always get what you want.
They're my boys.
It's for you, Jazz. So we're at 6-4.
6-4.
Mick's my mate.
All right, we'll do another sport one for you, Bluey, tomorrow.
Yeah,
and that was right. for Charlie Watts too.
Yes, good point. Yeah. Good point. Mickey Jagger.
You liking this segment a little bit more now, Jazz?
No, not at all.
He gets around. What was the kids and the
Children with 5 different women.
Oh, he don't mess around, our boy Mick.
You have a pants man already.
See you tomorrow. Thanks, everyone.
See you later.